Welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, joined today by my wife, Jasmine, making a return appearance to the podcast. Before we get into it, just as a reminder, you can find all of our stuff related to this podcast at mtmpodcast.com. Joe will be back with me soon. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Lee Huffman. If you didn't listen to it, we talked all about kind of behind the scenes of the hobby, freelancing, the seven deadly sins of travel hacking. It was a really great episode. Highly recommend you listen to it. Today, we're going to talk about Japan, Memphis, a lot going on. And now I welcome to the show Jasmine Coomer, my wife. Welcome back, Jasmine.
Hi, how are you guys? Nice to be here.
Now, we are recording this from separate rooms because I don't have the equipment for us to record in the same room here at the Hyatt Regency Osaka. We have a VIP suite here, and I guess we'll talk about this hotel a little bit later as we go through Japan, because I have a lot to say about it. But this is a huge suite, 1,200 square feet, so our daughter is in one part of the room. Hopefully she'll remain quiet. I'm in the bedroom. Jasmine is in the living room. And we look forward to talking about our travels. Are you a little tired? We've been gallivanting around Japan for almost a couple weeks now.
Yes, I am kind of tired at the moment, yeah, but I'm good.
We had a long day in Kobe today. We took a cable car up into the mountains, walked through this beautiful herb garden, and then saw this spectacular waterfall, which apparently didn't it say on the sign that it's like one of the three most famous waterfalls in all of Japan? I wish I could remember the name of it.
Yeah, it's been used to write novels and things like that. It's pretty big here.
Yeah, we took the ropeway up the mountain and then decided to hike down, so you only had to pay for the one-way ticket. Although that really wasn't the consideration, but in the past we've done this a lot where you hike down and it's generally pretty good. But we're getting a little older, I guess, but it was a pretty steep hike down, which wore us out a little bit. But it was a lot of fun and really beautiful. Kobe is beautiful. This was our first time there. And it's just like, what, 20-minute train ride from Osaka, so super easy to get to. We didn't try any Kobe beef, though.
I know, we forgot to do that. I mean, it was in our minds, but we just didn't do it at the end.
But we did try some ramen, so that was good. We had that for lunch. But we're going to talk all about Japan through this episode. I wanted to start, though, by talking about Memphis. So people who listen to the podcast know that I was supposed to go to Memphis for our Diamond meetup, and got COVID. And so you had to step in and you had planned that whole meetup anyway, planned the meetup for the bars. There was a meetup, there was a ghost walking tour, I think, other things around Memphis. And then you ended up having to go solo. How was that? Was it fun to be rid of me and to have the entire crowd to yourself?
You know, it was, at first I was a little like, what am I gonna do? You know, he's not there, because I'm usually just behind the scenes, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I mean, I think it was good. I mean, I started from the morning to the end, and I never stopping. So I wasn't really thinking about what you guys were doing, you and Ellie. So I was pretty busy, pretty busy. And it was good.
Yeah, you forgot all about us. But yeah, usually at the meetups, especially as we've been traveling, Ellie is with you. And so I'm out talking to people. And this time you did, yeah. And Benji did step up too and help you out. So I want to give Benji the props that he deserves on that.
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
But we put Memphis on the list because this is a city I had wanted to visit for so long because there was a lot of cool things there. And the Caption by Hyatt was a new property there. And that's the only Caption by Hyatt in the entire world. So for everybody trying to do Brand Explorer, that's when you get 5, 10, 15 brands on your Hyatt account, you get a free night. So this was one of those brands, and it's the only property you can get it at. So that was sort of the de facto hotel, and there's also a Hyatt Centric right there. And you got to stay at both, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But what were your favorite things? I think that you guys did, what I said, a ghost tour. You privately went to Graceland. And then there's that Bass Pro Shops Pyramid that I really wanted to go to that other people said kind of sucked.
Well, it was pretty good. I mean, we didn't get enough time to explore the Bass Pro Shops that much. The time was running out. We had to do a lot of things, but I think it was pretty nice. I mean, it was pretty busy, but I mean, it was good. I liked the pyramid. It was nice. It was different. I think it was good. It was just too busy, and we didn't have enough time to just look at everything, for sure.
How was it different than like a standard Bass Pro Shops than like the one in Las Vegas?
because it has a pyramid. I don't know. That's one of the big things. And there's a lot of like, there's fish, crocodiles. I mean, it's pretty nice. That's all I saw. And there's restaurants in there. I'm pretty sure that is kind of, it's as big as Las Vegas. I don't know. I think it was interesting, maybe because it's different for me. But the difference was just there's like little water, rivers, little fishes, crocodiles. I think there was other things that I really needed to just take my time there, but I didn't, so can't really say anything a lot about it, but I think it was pretty cool though.
So the history of that building is it was built as an arena. I think the Memphis Grizzlies played there when the professional team was there. But it never was a great arena just because it's a pyramid. It sort of looks like Luxor in Las Vegas. But Bass Pro Shops eventually took it over and built their flagship store there. There's a hotel there, as you said, restaurants. I haven't been there, but it's always been one of those interesting, quirky American things that looked interesting to me. But I guess what a lot of people go to Memphis for is Beale Street. And the Caption and the Centric are located right on Beale Street, so right next to all the bars and restaurants and all of the stuff there. And I know the first night you sent me video just to make me jealous of you guys went to a blues club. And I love blues music and especially live performances. How was Beale Street? Is it worth going there? Do you think people really should go out of their way to go see it?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because we had to go, when you go in, there's security guards and they got metal detectors, they scanning people, and then there's a charge to just get in there. And to go in the bar, there's another cover charge, so it's like a double charge. But I think, I really believe that people should really go there. It's something different, and there's music everywhere. It's like you're just walking and you can't hear yourself talk because there's just music all around, crazy people all around. I love music and crazy people, so I think everybody should go there and see it. It is worth going. And like you said, we were at this bar, a blues bar, and I know you would have loved it because it was just, raw, just people just singing, just I don't know, like local people, like just singing and doing their thing, and it was amazing. You would have loved it.
That's been one of the cool things about the meetups in Austin, which you didn't get to go to that meetup. We went to this like local comedy troupe, which was just fantastic. And it's always nice to like go bar hopping and to have those districts like Beale Street or was it Fifth Street in Austin? I hope I got that right, where you can go bar to bar and all of that. And it sounded cool. Now, the interesting thing about Memphis and those two hotels is they're right next door to all of that. So you have the Caption and the Centric. So everybody, for the most part, stayed at the Caption to get their brand explorer. What were your impressions of that hotel? Because this is sort of one of their new age, kind of modern, ultra modern brands. Did it work for you? Did you like it?
Well, it was just me, so it definitely worked. But it's one of those things where it's more for like younger people, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't really in the room; I was just gone all day. But everything looked good. The people there were nice. The employees were really nice, and I mean, everything was it was great. I mean, there's really I don't know. It's not there's no. I don't know. I don't see the difference that much, I guess, but it was pretty. I liked it, honestly.
I think I remember you telling me that your room was pretty dirty when you checked in. Did you have any other problems?
Well, that was the only problem I had, and I did ask the girl next door, and she's like, "Well, you got to go downstairs because I didn't clean that room," and I thought that was pretty weird. But I went downstairs, and it didn't get clean, I guess. I didn't even check again because I didn't want to be grossed out. So I was just like, whatever, I hope they cleaned it. But yeah, it was dusty, very dusty. Like that room wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't clean enough or it was just dust everywhere. Other than that, that's the only thing I have. And then where the shampoo
I think,
thing
hold on.
goes was broken. So.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's interesting for this hotel because it is new. And, this has one of those sort of modern designs, right? The rooms are pretty small. They're 285 square feet. So, pretty good for what, one person? There's no closet, right? So, everything's sort of exposed in the room, maybe similar to a True by Hilton or a Moxy.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting concept. Now, after the meetup, your flight, you were flying Frontier Airlines home, and because that's the only play way you can really get a direct flight back. Plus, when I had to cancel my flight, we were originally supposed to fly into Memphis earlier, and when we canceled all those flights, we rearranged your flights, and we were supposed to go on a road trip after Memphis. So basically, your flight was booked a few days ahead of time home because you were never originally supposed to fly home. And so that was the best deal and everything else. And I'm sorry, it wasn't Frontier, it was Allegiant, right? And they just decided to keep, they had a problem with the aircraft. You guys boarded, is that right? And then all of a sudden they kept delaying it, and then all of a sudden they canceled your flight.
Well, we went in, and then so I think the light shut off in the plane, and I was like, oh my God, that's not good. And then we end up going in, and then they said, well, we have to deplane, and then but leave your luggage, and then you don't have to worry about it because we'll be back. And then they're like, and then another announcement came right after saying take your luggage, and that was it. I was like, oh my God, this is not good. So then we had to all get out, and then like a few hours they're like, oh, we're still gonna do it, they're fixing it, this and that. And then it was, by that time it was like midnight, and they're like, oh, we're just gonna board another plane across the street from us, which is not across the street, just on the other side of it. And we all went there, and then finally, like around, oh God, like at 1 o'clock, they're like, there's not gonna be a plane, it's canceled. So it was then I it was like 2 o'clock by the time I got in line and went to talk to the attendants. And yeah, it was brutal. All this time of waiting, from I was there from 8 to like 2 in the morning. Oh my God, it was tiring. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was crazy because you were in contact with me the entire
Oh
time.
yeah, you
So,
were awake.
yeah, so we were kind of monitoring it together. And then I've never seen this. So they have one flight a day from Memphis to Las Vegas. And in the end, they basically said that your flight was delayed 24 hours until the next day's flight. They didn't even cancel it. And I don't know if that's some technical thing that they were trying to do, but they delayed your flight 24 hours. And being Allegiant, being a budget carrier, you're not going to get offered a hotel or any of that stuff. And thankfully, you know, we have insurance and weren't too worried about it. And so the first thing I did was find you an earlier flight, which was, I think, on Frontier the next day. So you didn't have to wait until the next night. And to get you on an early flight, I got that booked. That should all be reimbursed through insurance. We're still going through that. But the other thing is, I was looking for hotels for you and realized that you were one brand away from a brand explorer on your Hyatt membership. So I said, go back to the Hyatt Centric down near Beale Street, across from where the caption is. You can stay there. We should get reimbursed for the rate for that, and that you'll get the brand explorer. So always thinking about travel hacking. How did that hotel compare to the caption? Was it nicer?
It was really beautiful, but I didn't get to stay there that long. I was just went to sleep, woke up, and pretty much left. But it was really nice. Everything looked nice in there.
So you think between the two hotels, you think the Centric is much nicer?
But if you're gonna be, I don't know about the prices, but like if you're gonna be out all day, I mean, Caption is good. But if you're gonna stay in your hotel for a little bit, I guess Centric. I don't know, I like the Centric better, I guess. I guess that was the question. Yeah, I think Centric is much better.
Yeah, and I think they're building a Grand Hyatt there maybe, so there might be better options there in the future, but good comparison. I definitely think from the pictures the Centric looks much nicer. But again, the caption might draw people in because it's the only caption. So if you really want to get another brand on your brand explorer, that's the way to go. So one other Memphis thing before we move on to Japan, and that's Graceland. You and Benji went there, and that's another thing I'm very jealous of. It's very expensive. What was it, like $80 to get in?
It was pretty expensive, but I mean, seriously, you can spend like hours there. It's so interesting. Like, I mean, I like to see a lot of pictures, and there were so many pictures, and I don't like to read everything, but like the important stuff. But I mean, you can easily spend like 5 hours there. Like at the end, we went through everything really fast, but there's so much to do. I highly recommend it. Like there's so much to this. It's great. There's all the outfits. You know, I love the clothes. I was just Oh my God, everything is great. I loved it. I loved it. It's amazing. I like the pictures. I like the history. I like everything. I love Elvis. It's just amazing. Yep. Highly recommend it. But it's expensive, but you really get your money's worth. It's a lot of things to do. There's a lot, a lot.
So, what was your favorite thing? Was it the outfits or was it something else?
I think the outfits. I think the outfits, the cars, the house, I mean everything. Like there's so much, there's just so much to read and so much to see. I like the whole history about him, and I also, watched the movie before, like a little while back, and I was just, and I don't know, the opportunity came and I took it because I was like, I should wait, Sean goes, but I was like, no, I gotta go, and then I just did it. So, but yeah, I like the outfits a lot.
And so that was Memphis without me. I was sitting at home sick, feeling sorry for myself. I was actually starting to feel better by that weekend, but because of testing protocols and all of the other things, basically I couldn't go just to be safe and make sure that nobody got sick from me. So I stayed at home with Ellie, and I think on Sunday we made a trip out to Lake Mead, and we did some stuff, which was fun. Before we move on to Japan, did want to say that Diamond membership is now open. There's a few slots open. We kind of replacing some people who have left, so we opened up some slots. So if people are interested in that, you can check out milestomemories.com/diamond for all the information, or patreon.com/milestomemories, where you can sign up for it. And we have Slack, Facebook, we have our spending time show. There's meetups, a few meetups every year. Our next one
Yeah.
is in St. Louis. We're doing a family meetup. And then we have Vancouver's our big international meetup this year
Yeah.
coming up in September. So there's a lot going on all the time. The Slack is great. Benji does a great job running that. And like I said, we have shows, we have meetups. It's a great time. So there are a limited number of slots now open if people are interested, because
Yeah.
it's been closed off for so long. So that's always good to check out again. Milestomemories.com/diamond for all the information on that. So we were originally supposed to go on a road trip from Memphis and do some theme parks. We were going to do Dollywood and stuff like that, and then eventually go to Europe for our cruise to Norway out of London. And that's another offer from Carnival that we got, which I think was like $100 each, plus we got a $100 credit. I think it ended up being $500 total, including Ellie, which was actually the majority of the cost, plus taxes. So it was like $900, and we have like a $300 credit on board. So almost basically a free cruise for the first two people, plus adding the third person on. And it's a 9-day Norwegian cruise, or not Norwegian Cruise Line. It's a 9-day cruise to Norway, and I've always wanted to do that. So we're going to go to the fjords, and I'm really excited about that. And I've never been to Norway. It's the last Scandinavian country I have to visit. So we were going to figure out a way to get there beginning in June. And then, of course, I'm stuck at home. So you fly back home, and I find three business class seats on Japan Airlines to Tokyo. And I said, we're finally going to Japan after me talking about it for so long. We were supposed to go in 2020. Of course, we did 2019. We did Disney Around the World, where we did all six Disney resorts, all of the parks. So we did, in the course of a week, we did Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, and then a few weeks later we did Paris, Orlando, and Anaheim. And all of that was in 2019. And then we were going to go back to Japan in 2020, and then COVID. And I've been talking on this podcast about going back, but we got to fly Japan Airlines, burn some of those American Airlines miles, 60,000 miles one way in business class. Now, Japan Airlines on their 777-200s has this weird setup with the seats where it's 2-3-2, and every seat has aisle access, but they're basically like staggered seats. So you have these three seats in the middle, and by the time we booked, since it was very last minute, there were only seats in the middle or aisle seats. And so I decided to book us into the three seats in the middle. And I don't like to sleep on the aisle because it's very exposed. So I took the coffin seat, like what I call the coffin seat, which is that middle seat. And I'll tell you what, like, I wasn't sure what to expect. In fact, what did I tell you, like, right when we got on? Like, maybe I need to move seats, right?
No, you were looking to move me or Ellie, and we're like, okay, whatever, it's fine. But yeah, you end up there the whole time anyway, so I don't know what was the big deal about it.
So this seat, and I encourage people to look up what this is. So you do have aisle access by yourself. It's basically staggered with the two seats on either side of you. So you sit a little bit further forward, so you can get in and out. You don't have to climb over anybody. But because of the fact that you're in the middle, you basically have walls on both sides of you. And so it almost actually is like a suite. Now, on this particular plane, if you get a window seat on the two seats on the side, it's the same thing. You have aisle access and you're very private against the window. And it's really nice. It feels like a suite. But in this case, you have people on both sides of you. So that would be pretty miserable, I think, if you were traveling by yourself and you had strangers on both sides of you. Because there's times where you can put up the wall, but most of the time the wall is down, or like when you take off and stuff. But in our case, it worked out really good because I had Ellie on one side, Jasmine on the other side. And when I went to sleep, wasn't like falling out into the aisle or anything like that. I was a little worried when I was sitting down because, you know, I couldn't really like spread. It's not the widest seat in the world, perfectly comfortable, but, you know, sometimes I like to fan out my legs and stuff. And I was a little worried about that. But I'll tell you what, I'm 6'2", not the smallest guy in the world. That seat was perfectly fine. I slept really good. It felt very private when I went to lay down. I enjoyed it. No problems whatsoever sitting in that seat. Again, I wouldn't really want to do it if it was just me and I had strangers on both sides. It would be doable. But yeah, this coffin suite, I'm going to call it on JAL, wasn't bad at all. And I would recommend it. And if you're a family of three, it works out good because you still can get in and out. For you guys, what did you think of the seat? How comfortable was it for you?
My seat was really comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I didn't put it all the way down as a bed. I just kept like sit a little bit sitting up because I like to watch the TV, and I ate so much there. Oh my God. Anyway, and you keep putting your window up, so it's not like you like left it down all the time. You're just messing with us. You're like, you put up your window twice or three times. I don't know, but for me, that seat was really good. I was comfortable. I didn't feel like exposed at all, like to the eye or whatever, because nobody's like really looking at you or whatever. But I mean, I think that's pretty good. And I'm, like so short, so it doesn't really matter to me about the size. For me, it was good. And Ellie loved it, so.
Ellie really enjoyed it, I think. Obviously, she's small, so she fit perfectly fine in there. She didn't mind being in the aisle. I did put up the window towards you sometimes, but I kept the window open towards Ellie the entire time so I could keep an eye on her and make sure she didn't cause havoc on the plane. A couple of notes about JAL. I've actually flown on this exact same product before a few years ago on the window seat, which again, I think was great. So it's very similar to my coffin seat, except it's just you have the window on one side and then another passenger on the other. And in that case, there was nobody sitting in the aisle seat, so it was really great. JAL loves to keep their planes really hot. And there's no like air vents or anything in business class. And that was, you know, something I knew going in, and they definitely lived up to that reputation. The service was a little scattered, I would say. Didn't seem like they were the most experienced crew, although trying to be friendly. And we all ordered the Western meal. You can get a Japanese meal or a Western meal. And it was a really good steak, one of the better business class steaks I've ever
That's
had.
good. Yeah.
Yeah, you liked it?
I like the steak, and I also, I ordered the ramen too. That's pretty good. And I think that's about what I, and I had wine, of course. I mean, for me, the service was a little slow, but it was good. I mean, not the best, but I don't know. I think it was normal, slow, but good. I had to ask for a few things. But other than that, they were trying hard. They were really nice.
Yeah, I don't think the service really compares to some of the other Asian airlines like Cathay Pacific or Singapore Airlines. You had to ask for things. There was no proactive. They weren't looking to refill your drinks. They would just leave you there forever. The other thing that was weird is that they serve you the first meal, you know, an hour or two after takeoff, and then they have this meal for the rest of the flight that you can order anytime. So there's never a second meal service. You can just order off this a la carte menu, and there was things like ramen and a few other things that you could have. Chicken and waffles was an interesting one. Ellie got that, really liked that. But there's no set second service. I could see people really liking that or not liking that. But in the end, it has a really big TV screen. The selection of movies was pretty limited, but I did find a couple of movies to watch. And, you know, I think it was just over an 11-hour flight, and it went by pretty quickly. I mean, when you get there and, you know, you're not dying to run off the plane, I think that's a pretty positive experience. And like you said, the service was very friendly, maybe a little slow, maybe a little inexperienced, but nothing that is really terrible or would keep me from flying JAL again. Again, I don't think that they even compare as to ANA. I think ANA, which I don't think you've flown on ANA, but I have flown them a few times, is a better airline. But JAL is perfectly fine, and that redemption at 60,000 American miles was great. We've been sitting on these stupid American miles for a long time, and it felt good
Forever.
to burn them. Yeah. So let's talk about Japan. We did a lot so far in Japan. We're now at our last
Oh
hotel
my God.
of the trip. Yeah, it's been fun, but we started with the Hyatt Centric in Tokyo, and now you've stayed at the Park Hyatt. We stayed there in 2014. I've separately stayed at the Andaz. You've also stayed at the Hyatt Regency there. But the Centric was a hotel neither of us had stayed at before. And, Centric is a weird brand because it can be really nice, like the one in Memphis. Or they've also converted some of their like older hotels or more rundown hotels into Centric, so it can really be all over the place. But the Hyatt Centric in Tokyo, I think, may be the nicest Centric I've ever seen. It feels like it's a very much a luxury hotel. I've stayed at the Andaz in Tokyo, which I feel like is the best Andaz I've ever stayed at. And this would be the best Centric, very similar to that. Really good breakfast. I wouldn't say it's like the best breakfast I've ever had, but very, very good quality breakfast. I used a suite upgrade for the first 2 nights only because there wasn't a suite for the other night. So we stayed 4 nights total, two in a regular room, two in a suite. The suite was absolutely great. So if you have an opportunity to use a suite upgrade or get that suite, that standard suite at the Hyatt Centric Tokyo, I recommend it. And then we're in the Ginza area, which is the first time we've ever stayed there, where all the shopping is. Found it really convenient to get everywhere. It was pretty quick to find trains and to get all around the city.
Everything, I really like that hotel. It's pretty nice. Everything was, yeah, it was kind of luxury. It was, I mean, it was nice. Everything was slow, laid back. Everything was good. I liked it. And the employees like really try. They're really nice. Nice, really nice. The breakfast was good. And there was a lot of shopping that I didn't do, but there's a lot of restaurants, which it was great. I loved it. Like all the food, everything was so close, so convenient. Yeah, it was one of the, it was a good, that was a good, that good area overall.
Yeah, and I definitely like that area. The Park Hyatt and the Hyatt Regency are in Shinjuku. I haven't stayed at the Grand Hyatt Tokyo, but that's in a different part of town. The Andaz is an even different part of town. Super easy to get to the Centric from Haneda Airport, which is what we flew into. And obviously, if you're ever going to Tokyo and you have the option to fly into Haneda instead of Narita, you absolutely should because it's so much easier to get into the city. So it was really cool. And we did, one day we walked down to where the old fish market was. The outer market is still there, so all the food stalls are still there, but the fish market has moved. Some beautiful gardens over there as well. We went to the new Tokyo Skytree, new-ish, I guess, Tokyo Skytree, which was really beautiful observation over Tokyo, and did some other stuff like some of the famous temples and stuff that we've done before that we hadn't done with our daughter. So it just was a really great way to get all around the city. Went to Tokyo Dome and rode Thunder Dolphin, which is this 200-foot tall coaster right in the middle of the city next to the Tokyo Dome. Went down to Cosmo World down in Yokohama, which was the first time we did that. And anywhere we wanted to go, it seemed like 20, 25 minutes, we were everywhere. And it was very quick to any of the stations, and there's several different lines around there. And yeah, I liked it a lot. They even have a quote unquote happy hour. Was it like 5 to 9 or something, where they had this little refrigerator with like beers and like wine coolers and stuff like that that you can get. So not really like a full wine service or anything, but if you want some free booze, you can get it, right?
They have the noodles there too,
And coffee and all
chips,
that.
and lots of candy, Coke. They don't have Coke Zero, so we didn't have any soda, but I mean, it was enough, you know, for like a snack, a quick snack.
Yeah, and that's not something you expect at that property. So it was just nice to have that. A really good coffee machine so you can make coffee anytime you want. Plus, I believe Nespresso in the room. So they had a pretty good coffee maker. It was a great stay. It's a very expensive hotel these days. I think the rates were upwards of $800 a night for when we were staying there. It's a category 6, so it's 25,000 points per night, which is a lot, especially for a Centric. But in Tokyo and that location is prime. I would highly recommend that hotel. I still think I like the Andaz a little bit better, which you didn't stay at. I stayed at with my dad in 2016, but They're pretty close. The Park Hyatt, I'm really excited. They're closing the Park Hyatt down next year for a full renovation. We stayed there in 2014 and it felt dated even then, even though we really enjoyed watching Lost in Translation as we stayed there. Very meta.
Oh
But
yeah, and we had that fish pizza, remember? We
yeah,
didn't
we had
what?
a
Oh my
we
God, that
stayed
was horrible. Yeah.
there was we were in so back in the day when you got the Hyatt credit card, if you had Diamond status, this is before World of Hyatt, so before Globalist. But if you had the status when you applied for the credit card, the sign-up bonus was 2 free nights. And if you had Diamond status, you got 2 free nights in a suite. And so what we did is back then you could do a status challenge and get the status for like 3 months. And we did that and we went to Hawaii and I got you the Diamond status. And we went to Hawaii and did the Hyatt Regency there and got, upgraded. Now, they didn't give you suites back then with that status, but you got a really nice thing. We had club access. I think that's one of the first times we had lounge access, and that was really nice. And we also applied for the credit card during that period of time. So you didn't actually complete the challenge or get to keep the status, but you had it for like the 3 months. And then later on in 2014, we used those 2 free nights in a suite at the Park Hyatt Tokyo. So we had this beautiful suite. It was dated even back then, I would say, and it hasn't been renovated since then, so I can imagine it would feel even dated. But the service was great. We didn't have top tier status when we stayed, so we didn't get like free breakfast there and some of that stuff. But yeah, they did treat us pretty well. And one night we just were enjoying the suite so much, we decided to order Domino's pizza, and we ate Domino's pizza in the
Yeah.
Park Hyatt. So we can never shed those backpacker jeans that we have, I guess.
That was some horrible pizza. We end up eating the whole thing though, but it was, oh my God. Oh God.
I can't even imagine what they thought when Dom, I don't remember how it got delivered or how it got to us in the room if we had to go down and get it, but I can't imagine what they thought at the Park Hyatt Tokyo with us
Yeah,
ordering
they're like, oh
Domino's
my
pizza.
God.
Thankfully, no American fast food on this trip. Lots of ramen, lots of other good stuff, lots of
Lots
good
of
Japanese
ramen.
food. Yeah,
Yes.
and Ellie really loves Japanese food and she's really taken to it, so that's been great. So we've grown up a little bit since 2014 in what we ate. So after the Centric, we moved out to the Hyatt Regency Tokyo Bay. And I wanted to talk about this really quick because it's somewhat near Tokyo Disneyland. About a, what, 25, I guess it's 20 minutes to Tokyo Disneyland or 30 minutes to Tokyo DisneySea on the shuttle. And they do have a free shuttle, which is pretty good. It's very much on time. So you can really plan your day around that. For our stay, they had a buy two, get one free sale on their rooms, and I was able to use a suite upgrade certificate. So we had a suite there, and it ended up being $400 US total for the 3 nights. So super cheap. Like it was like $120 base rate per night or whatever it was, plus taxes. Our final bill, $400, when I converted it from yen when we checked out. So cheap that I can't even imagine how cheap it was for the prices that we're seeing in hotels all over Japan. But we have stayed in the past, but it's not on Disney property there. And there are hotels on Disney property. And we've stayed at the past at the Hilton on Disney property at Tokyo Disney and at the Sheraton. Both those are decent options, but the redemption rates have gone up tremendously on those properties. And the cash rates for both were $300 to $400 per night. So here we are at the Hyatt Regency. We have lounge access, we have a suite, and we're paying, $100 and
Breakfast.
less than $140 a night. Yeah, breakfast, everything. The lounge really sucked, I'll just say that. But again, we only went there for the first night that we arrived. We were at the parks, and I think the rooms were fine. This isn't going to blow you away, but if the price is right, I think it's worth doing. The only reason I say that is because the Hilton and the Sheraton, you still need to take the Disney monorail to get to the parks, which will take you between 10 and 20 minutes from when the minute you leave the hotel. So if you do the shuttle at the Hyatt Regency, you're taking 20 to 30 minutes. So you're adding maybe 10 minutes to your day or to your commute each way. If the price is significantly less, I would stay there. I think the rooms are nicer too because the Sheraton and the Hilton are very lackluster when it comes to the rooms, although they're these very big resort type hotels. So you did miss kind of being on property, like taking the monorail, maybe being there is a little bit of a Disney bubble there at Tokyo Disneyland that we missed. But if the price is right, I recommend the Hyatt Regency. It's a perfectly fine hotel. And I would say that the other two are perfectly fine too. They're not special and they're not worth $400 a night if you can get a Hyatt for one third the price and spend 10 more minutes on the shuttle. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. But when you're really tired, like we were so tired, we're like, oh, I wish our hotel was closer. But it's worth just 10 more minutes. That's what you have to think about at the end of the day. So, but yeah, I liked it. I think it was pretty good.
Now, the Hyatt Regency is very isolated out in this area where there isn't much else around. There's like a Lawson convenience store at the, was it Choice or Comfort Suites next door? So you can get stuff there. The lounge had like coffee and sodas and stuff. Even it was supposed to close at 10 o'clock, but you could get in there anytime. But you know that you are a little isolated. Like I said, if the price was the same across all those hotels, I would choose either the Sheraton or the Hilton. Simply because I would want to be on Disney property, not because either of those properties are particularly special, but just something to keep in mind for anybody planning a Tokyo Disney trip. Now, we've been using the Japan Railways Rail Pass, and we finally got to get back on the Shinkansen trains. We haven't done that since 2008, the first time we did that, and we've been sort of zipping around. We first started, it's been funny because we're doing all this last minute. As we were coming to Japan, I realized that the G7 summit was coming to Hiroshima, and that was on the list of where we wanted to go. And we sort of had to like rush down to Hiroshima, and then we found out we stayed at the Sheraton there, that's right at the station. So if you're ever going to Hiroshima, there is a Sheraton there. It's not particularly special. It's pretty overpriced for what it is, but it worked okay for us. But we get there, we get off the train, we started walking to the Sheraton. And we see like 8 million police officers everywhere. And it didn't click in our head that like the G7 summit was starting the next day. So, and I guess that hotel was a main hotel for it. There's metal detectors kind of like everywhere, although they weren't using them yet. But there was like what, 8 million police officers all around the station?
There was metal scanners everywhere. They were not functioning at that time, but they were everywhere, and there were so many police officers. There was, yes, a lot of stuff going on, and we didn't realize it until you told me, I guess, what was happening. So, but yeah, it was crazy.
Now, we didn't realize that the day before the G7 summit started that everything closed at noon so that they could do security scans. So we wanted to go to the bomb dome. We wanted to show our daughter where the nuclear bomb was dropped. And we had previously done that with our son in 2008. It's a very interesting site. And then there's some other interesting sites around Hiroshima that we wanted to do. But when we went to go check out of the Sheraton, we're like, can we store our luggage here? And they said, no, as long as you have to pick it up by noon. Because we're locking everything down at noon, which, you know, which came as a surprise because we didn't know that. And then as we went to go to the bomb dome, the guy told us everything closes at noon, and it was like 10 o'clock. So we had to rush down there, went to the museum there, went to saw all the sights, but we didn't get to go to Miyajima Island, which is where the deer are. I hope I said that right off the top of my head, which was one of the places we had done before. So we kind of just got in and out of Hiroshima right
With our
before
luggage.
all the leaders. Yeah. Oh yeah, we had to go all around with our luggage because we couldn't start. Yeah.
We
It
couldn't,
was
there's no
back to our
lockers.
backpacker
Everything was
days.
closed. Yeah. That's crazy.
And yeah, we got in and out before all the leaders of all the countries came. And then we went down to Kyoto, where we stayed at the Hyatt Place Kyoto. And I wrote an article on the site saying that it's the best Hyatt Place in the world. Even though they don't have eggs at breakfast for some reason. They say due to the shortage because of the bird flu, no eggs. But it is really a spectacular property, right? I mean, you would think that this is a much higher end property. And we stayed in some really bad Hyatt places, especially the old ones. But this one was just fantastic.
Yeah, this was really nice. The breakfast was good. They had laundry for pretty cheap. We didn't do the laundry, but they have a gym. I mean, everything is nice there. I liked it. Coffee all day, all night. That,
Not just
you know,
coffee, but an espresso.
espresso machine. Yes, a big
Yeah,
one. Yeah.
two of them, and just all the pods that you want, so you can just load up on those pods. The
Oh,
breakfast
yeah.
buffet was very extensive. It wasn't just like a Hyatt Place breakfast. It's really strange that they didn't have eggs, I'll say that, but they had a full Japanese menu,
Yeah.
full Western menu, amazing
Yeah.
yogurts, really fresh fruit. It felt like a buffet that you would see at a, you know, a Hyatt Regency or something of a higher end. A hotel, and so really impressed with that. The location was really good, right on top of a subway station. The room was small, although it still had a sofa bed and two other beds, but the rooms there are pretty small. That's a downside. Like you said, they have ice machines and laundry on every floor. not just a gym, but a really well-equipped gym. No onsen. If they
Yeah.
had like an onsen there, then it would be like the perfect property, I'd say. But no
And
Japanese baths.
they have a lot of complimentary toothpaste, toothbrush, kids stuff. I mean, like there's just baskets full of stuff that you can just grab and take to your room. It was good. It was a really good one.
So that's a category three in Kyoto. There's a Hyatt Regency, which is a category five, which we did not stay at. And then, there was 4 nights in between Tokyo and our last nights in Osaka where we were at the Hyatt Regency that I did not have booked. And I was trying to figure out what we were gonna do. And ultimately, one of them was at the Sheraton in Hiroshima. One of them was at the Hyatt Place Kyoto. We knew we were gonna stay in Kyoto again. And so I looked last minute and there was a redemption at the Park Hyatt Kyoto, which is a hotel that a lot of people have talked about. And I know a lot of people who rave about it. I know other people who have had mixed experiences there. Nobody has ever said that it's not the very beautiful hotel. I've never gotten myself to do a Category 8 redemption. Hyatt introduced Category 8 a couple years ago. It's 40,000 points a night. If you value Hyatt points at 1.5 cents like me, that's about $600 worth of points. So other people value them at 2 cents. That would be $800 worth of points. It's a lot of points, a lot of money's worth of points. But the cash rate for our nights was just over $2,000. And with taxes and fees, that came to $2,600. So going in, I had high expectations for the property. I was worried I would be a little bit let down, which sometimes that does happen. But I was really going in with good vibes, just expecting this property to be great based
Yeah.
on some other people. And I have to say, it was great. I feel like I didn't feel once that I didn't get my money's worth. It felt like a true luxury property. The decor is just stunning. The amount of money they put into that hotel. The rooms are great. We had a room that had a garden view, so it was just one step up from the base room. No suite available. Although this is classified as a resort, so you're not guaranteed late checkout. But they did extend a 4 p.m. checkout to us, which was really nice for the one night stay because that gave us the ability to go see. It's surrounded by a few really famous temples that you can walk to, and so we were able to do that and spend some time in the property. But what did you think overall of the Park Hyatt Kyoto?
God, that was really nice. I didn't want to leave, but I mean it was beautiful, everything, like from I mean the bathroom, the bed, I mean the whole thing, everything was perfect, beautiful, like all the way. And I don't know, the gym was nice, the spa was nice, everything was like nice. All the stuff that they had there was just luxury. Everything was beautiful. Yeah. It was
Yeah,
nice.
I've heard.
All the employees were nice. They're like all over, but they were nice, you know.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about the service at the hotel, and that's not something that we ran into at all. Like, service was very over the top, very friendly. Every time you
Over the
walk
top,
by
yeah.
anybody, yeah, it's very typical of what you'll find in a very truly luxurious hotel in Asia. And I feel like they delivered on all
Yeah.
of that. We're not very demanding people, so we're not asking for, concierge, very complicated things. So I guess
We do
that's,
not like it. We don't like it when
yeah.
they're all over us. Like they were just like all over us. Like I'm like, oh my God, that's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, it was good.
But they did a great job. When you check in, they sit you down in the lobby. There's tables there that also serves as a little bit of a restaurant. But they check you in right there. They gave us a welcome drink, so welcome champagne, which was really nice. Ellie was able to get a juice, I think, and they also had coffee on the menu for people who don't drink. And once we were done kind of drinking that, they said the room was ready. They escorted us to the room. Also very typical. This is something that they used to do in all Park Hyatts, but they do not do in all Park Hyatts anymore. For example, Park Hyatt New York doesn't do it. But they did escort us to the room, make sure everything was great. The room itself isn't huge. I think it's about 550 square feet, although it felt bigger. Floor to ceiling windows
Yeah.
overlooking the garden. Didn't feel small at all to us. We had a king size bed and then there was a day bed, but we were able to get sheets and Ellie just slept on that and that was great. Big bathroom, separate tub and shower. I guess I should mention the onsen. You said the spa. They have an onsen, separate men and women. It's a traditional Japanese spa, so you're going to take off your clothes, all of that stuff. Very small, like there's a cold plunge and then there's a hot whirlpool. I'd say there maybe you could squeeze three people into each one. I was lucky enough to visit just by
Yeah.
myself, so I had the whole thing to myself. There's also a steam room and a sauna. It's beautiful. In fact, I was sitting in there, I was like, oh, one day I would love to have something like this in my house, because it was like very personalized size. Now, there's only 70
Small, yeah.
rooms, I think, in this hotel. So luckily, like I said, I had the whole thing to myself, and that was great. But yeah, you have to be comfortable with the whole Japanese onsen experience. You're going to shower before you get in, no clothes on,
Yeah.
all of that typical stuff. Men and women are going to be in separate areas. But yeah, it's a great hotel. And there's, like I said, there's all those temples around there. It gets mobbed with tourists around there, which is sort of interesting. And then you can just step into the hotel and it's very quiet. There was lots of spaces to sort of sit if you wanted to be out in the public areas, lots of gardens around the hotel. The only downside I would say is breakfast. Breakfast was perfectly fine in the bistro there, but it didn't feel like a five-star hotel breakfast. And they also have
It
a
didn't.
Japanese option, but they charge you 3,000 yen per person if you want the Japanese breakfast, which seemed, and this is for globalists, it seemed a little cheap to me, especially you have a $2,000 a night room and they're trying to charge you for the Japanese breakfast. But that's not a deal breaker to me at all. Other people have said it's great. We just tried the Western breakfast, liked it. So I would recommend that hotel, even at 40,000 points a night. Do not regret it. And then the last hotel, the Hyatt Regency Osaka. This hotel is leaving Hyatt at the end of June. And so I'm not going to say a lot about it other than it's very dated. I can see why it's leaving Hyatt. Our first night was in a regular room, which is one of the worst Hyatt Regency rooms I've ever had. The beds were lumpy. I did
The
reserve
carpet was
three.
dirty.
Yeah, it was. There's patches all over the walls and the hallways. Like you could
Yeah.
tell that this hotel was nice in 1994 when it opened, but I don't know that they've done a lot of stuff to change it since then. But we are in a VIP suite for the last 3 nights, and I had booked this a while ago. This is a Category 2 Hyatt, and so you can book on normal days at 16,000 points for a premium suite. But 2 of the days we're here are low points, so there was only 13,000. So I think it was 42,000 points for 3 nights in the VIP suite here, which is a 1,200 square foot suite. It's a lovely space. I mean, beautiful views of the bay. The beds look about the same. We haven't slept on them yet, but the beds are a little underwhelming. But I'd say this room is
The
infinitely better than our regular room that we had last night.
TV's from 2000.
Yeah, it has those fat flat screens
TVs
from a long time ago. So they're not tube TVs, but
are
they're just one step away from those. But I can see why this
Yeah.
property is not going to be a Hyatt any longer. But it's a good deal.
Yeah.
The location isn't great, but we're going to Universal. It's working out okay for
Yeah.
us. And
The
coming up, we're going
view
to, yeah, the view is very nice
is nice.
of the bay and floor to ceiling windows in the living room. A 1,200 square foot suite for 14,000 points a night. You really have a hard time arguing with that. And the hotel, like I said, has nice bones. The lobby's nice and stuff. So it just feels like it was stuck in time. They didn't invest in it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, moving on to a different brand. So coming up, we have as we close out, coming out, as we close out, coming up, we have a stay in Macau at the Four Seasons, a stay in Macau at St. Regis. We're going to stay in the Ritz Hong Kong, which is that hotel that's between 102nd and 118th story of the building there. So our room will be above the 100th floor. So that'll be our first time staying that high. I think the
Yeah.
highest I've ever stayed before is the Park Hyatt Shanghai at like 80. And then I think for you, it was the Grand Hyatt Shanghai, which was like the 70th floor or something like
Yeah.
that, that we stayed in 2019. So that's exciting. But we used to
That
backpack
is
around the
exciting.
world, and now we're staying at Park Hyatts, Ritz-Carlton's, Four Seasons, St. Regis. I should say the ones in Macau, we're using our FHR credits from Platinum cards. So the Four Seasons, I think, was $240 after all taxes and fees. The prices are super cheap right now. And the St. Regis
Yeah.
was like $260. So we're paying almost nothing for those, getting breakfast, $100 credits. But how do you feel like traveling in these nice hotels compared to how it used to be?
Well, this is very nice because I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go to my hotel and just, relax for a while. But it seems like we're being backpacking because we're just going hard. Like this last 2 weeks, we're just been going. But I mean, about the hotels, yeah, it's pretty nice. Like I can ask for any better, I guess, because that's just how it is right now, these days.
Although you did give me a hard time because we're going to be switching hotels so much. We're also staying at the Conrad
Oh
Hong Kong, and
yeah, that
you're
is
like,
true.
shout out the PDX Deals guy, but you're like, so you're turning into him where you're going to move hotels every day. Because we did one night in
Every
the Park
day.
Hyatt, and we're 4 nights here at the Hyatt Regency Osaka.
Yeah.
Admittedly, we were feeling sorry for ourselves last night when we got here from the Park Hyatt. It felt like a
Yeah.
huge step down. But then in Macau, because of the FHR credits and the cheap prices, we're trying out the Four Seasons and the St. Regis, and then we'll be in one
Yeah.
night at the Grand Hyatt. Those hotels are all like about a 2 minute walk from each other, so not a huge
Yeah, but
deal.
I did tell you I don't mind. I don't mind moving. I don't care. Like I want to see how it is.
Yeah, and then originally in
That's
Hong Kong,
good.
I had us 4 nights at the Hyatt Regency there because we were going to be out and about doing stuff. But then I found a really good
Yeah.
deal for the Conrad, which has been on my hotel bucket list, the Conrad Hong Kong, for a long time. And then I have the 85K cert for my Marriott credit card that I felt like the Ritz Hong Kong has been on my list, staying 100, over 100 stories above the water. So we're checking off some bucket list items there, and yeah, it's really good. It's really nice to be able to do this with you and Ellie, but also, you know, using miles and points. These are
Yeah.
$800,000. The hotel rates have just been insane. When I look at the cash rates of the hotels we're staying at, even the Hyatt Regency Osaka, which is category two, like I said, the rates right now are
Yeah.
$250 to $300, and I would feel bad for anybody who's paying $300 for this hotel a
Oh,
night.
it
But
is bad. Yeah.
points and miles are really a savior in Japan right now with the way prices are, and it's been nice. So it's been great to come back. I mean, what are your feelings being back in Japan after what, 4 years now?
You know, I think I'm enjoying more like this time more because now I'm more open to like try the food here. Last time we were just always trying to go to McDonald's or go to like little, you know, now it's like I'm just like, oh, I've been eating curry like literally every morning and ramen every night. Like that's crazy. No, but I mean, it's much different. I'm more like, I guess my eyes are wide open now. I'm just looking at everything, taking in all the sights. I don't know, not that I didn't do it before, but I think it's more like maybe because I'm older and I'm trying to see more and you know. I don't know, I love it. I like Japan. Japan's nice. It doesn't seem too busy like it before it felt like everybody was in a rush and now it's like everybody's slow. I don't know, it's weird. Everything's slowing down. Maybe because I'm older. I don't know. It just
Yeah, you're
before
slowing down.
I
I don't know. It seems pretty busy to me everywhere. Just
no, but like no, but like today we're trying to rush and everybody, all the girls, all the Japanese people are walking slow and we're like, what is wrong with these people? Like, why are they so walking slow? Why are they not in the, 'cause they're usually normally just going and going and going. And today it's like they're just lay back. They're just relaxing. I don't know. No, but yeah, like I feel like this, 'cause we talk, oh my God, you talk so much about Japan that it's just like, you know, we're here. It's perfect. I love it. I love Japan. Nice. I knew it was gonna be like this, but I also thought that it was gonna be really fast going, which it is, but it's not. I don't know. It's different now, but I like it. I love it.
And
Yeah,
it's been
I like
nice to
the
get
food.
out of
I like the
Tokyo.
people. Yeah.
And it's been nice to get out of Tokyo. We've been to Tokyo on, I've been to Tokyo 5 separate times. You've been 4 times. And then, but we've only done the one trip outside of Tokyo where we did the rail pass back in 2008 and did it all over.
Yeah.
So it's been great to do that. The one last thing I want to close with is just to say, if you're thinking about going to Japan, it's super easy to travel here. You don't have to be an experienced traveler. The first time we came in 2008, there was no Google Maps. You basically had to try to read the subway map. If you've ever seen Tokyo, there's like 8 gazillion train lines, and then there's JR lines, and then there's metro lines that are owned by different companies. And you had to basically try to read the map and figure it out. It was something that was doable back then, but literally now you can just go onto Google Maps. It tells you like what the train is, it tells you what the platform is, it shows you every train time, it even knows when trains are delayed. It makes everything super simple. And then if there are signs that are not in English, you know, you can use Google Lens through Google Photos. It'll translate the sign for you. I mean, it's so easy to travel here. Most everything is in English, though. All the trains, they have all the stations in English. It tells you what side of the train. It's just such an easy country to travel to. People should
Were
really
you
come here.
showing me? You were showing me something on your phone that where it just shows you like where to walk, literally, or if there's a car next to you. What was that? You were showing me on your
Yeah, there's a
phone.
Google on Google Maps. There's a thing. Yeah, where it'll do an overlay over
That's crazy.
the live thing you're seeing. Yeah, it's just so simple. Today we were in a place eating lunch, trying to get ramen. There was no English menus, right? So we just I just took a picture of the menu. Google Lens will translate it for you, so you can see all the add-ons, and
Yeah.
it's just so easy to travel here. You don't need to do any of that.
It
But
is
I mean,
so
as far as getting
easy.
around, Google Maps is just fantastic, telling you which trains. And if you have the rail pass, super easy. Highly recommend that. So it's been fun, and I'm glad that we could catch up, tell everybody about Japan, and hopefully give them some insights into where we went, and hopefully inspire them to come. It's really great. You should do Tokyo Disneyland. We have not done Universal Studios in Osaka yet. We're going to do that our last day, but that's on the agenda as well. So good times. A little bit of roller coasters, a lot of culture, tons of good food, and
A
no
lot of
Domino's
temples.
pizza. Yeah, a lot of temples and no
No,
Domino's pizza, so that's good.
no McDonald's. Nothing
Yeah,
like
we're
that
doing
so
better.
far.
We're doing better.
We're
Yeah,
doing
lots
very
of good
good.
ramen.
Very good, very good. And lots of rice and curry and
Well,
salad in the morning.
thanks for joining me. We are out of time, Jasmine, but we hopefully will have you back in a few
What?
months. Maybe we'll talk about Macau. Yeah, Joe will get mad if this goes any longer. So,
Oh my God. Ah, well, thanks for having me.
absolutely. And just as a reminder to everybody out there, there are a few slots for Diamond membership, milestomemories.com/diamond. And you can follow Jasmine on Instagram. What's your username on Instagram?
Emily RTW.
And you can follow me at Miles to Memories all over social media. We also have our Vegas show, youtube.com/milestomemories, if you want to hear the latest Vegas info and news. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks again, Jasmine, for doing this episode. Talk to you guys next
You're
time.
welcome. Bye.
Bye.